and welcome to the 10th episode of Radio Thule, the Pan-Nordic podcast from nordiskradio.se. My name is Lucas Lindgren, and with me today I have Andreas, Halfdan, and Tarje. Hello, guys.
Hello.
Good evening.
Hello.
Hello to you. And we're going to talk about the Remigration Summit today. We're going to try to just talk about the summit. And that's because Tarje was actually there in, was it Milan?
Just outside the Milan, yeah, in the Varese. Yeah.
And it was like in the middle of last month during May, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah, and I'm maybe gonna ask Tarje some questions that might pop up in the moment in my mind, and I'm going to use Jared Taylor's article as a support, and then I also have some of my own notes and so on. But it's the question to you, Tarje. Jared Taylor, was he a speaker?
No, he was in the audience sitting right in front of me.
Yeah, okay. Yeah. But he seems like he's on the same side as these guys a bit in the way he's thinking and so on. Am I wrong saying that?
He supports what they're doing, yes.
Yeah, absolutely. Before I just start rambling my thoughts, do you have anything you want to say about the conference? How was it? How was the people you met there? What is your like general thoughts on what they said and so on? Was it professionally made or yeah?
Yeah, it was very professionally made. And personally, I think it was a pretty good experience insofar as experiencing nationalist unity, even though the people there do not agree on the very many issues. But at the same time, I think the general idea of European identity and agreeing that we need to deport almost all non-Europeans is something worth uniting for. And the experience, yeah, I had with the people, the most people were pretty nice. I got to talk to Jared Taylor for 30 seconds. The people were pretty nice in general.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, they said some good things, absolutely. I might get into what my definition of nationalism actually is, but the whole point, it's called the Remigration Summit, and yeah, they talked about remigration in a pretty racial manner, you could say. A lot of them, at least, talked about it in a racial manner. Not maybe all races, but they mention like white people. But yeah, I have some problems with what they said. But I'm just going to start off with Jared Taylor because I read his text and so on. And I looked up a lot of the people on Wikipedia and took some quotes. And when I looked at Jared Taylor's Wikipedia page, I found this in the Wikipedia article. Taylor welcomes Jews to his organization and views American Jews as potential powerful allies. While several speakers of Jewish descent have participated in American resistance conventions, he has never sought to either welcome or expel anti-Semitic voices. This position has sparked tensions with far-right anti-Semitic organizations claiming that Jews are infiltrating their movement. And the Forward reported that Taylor has been trying to denazify the movement and draw the white nationalist circle wider to include Jews of European descent. But to many on the far right, taking the Jew hatred out of white nationalism is like taking the Christ out of out of Christmas, a sacrilege. And then the third quote, and last for Jerry Taylor, the Southern Poverty Law Center comments that Taylor is unusual among the radical right in his lack of anti-Semitism. Scholar Elizabeth Bryant Morgenstern states that unlike many other white supremacists, Taylor is not anti-Semitic and in fact encourages Jews to join his fight. However, many within the white supremacist anti-immigration movement disagree with Taylor, and he has been under tremendous pressure to break ties with the Jewish community. I thought this was a bit funny. I don't know what you guys think.
Sounds odd to me. I know he doesn't bring up the Jewish questions explicitly like a lot, but I heard an interview with him on Red Eyes, and there he was at least very critical of Jewish power.
Yeah, I don't know. But I took that from the Wikipedia article.
Yeah, I know.
The Wikipedia article tries to simplify it a bit too much. Like he is against the Jewish power and the Jewish influence on like a white civilization, but he still tries to reach out so we do not feel like get put in a political ghetto of sorts. That's his way of thinking.
Okay, because my thought with Wikipedia was that they are the Wikipedia Association or whatever they are really anti-nationalist. So they often like write worse about people than it actually is. So it's like I believe that it is in Wikipedia's interest to try to make someone look worse. So why are Wikipedia organization, if you look at like the Wikipedia article on the Nordic resistance movement, it's a lot of shit talk that we are like violent, we've done that and that, and they like talk a lot of shit. So it's like, why are they saying good things about him? It's a bit weird in my mind.
Yeah, it's weird, and I'm not. Oh well, I guess I am trying to defend Taylor, but it could be just to create division and.
I know, that is what I think.
Because of course, I'm not a Jared Taylor expert, but nothing I have.
Not
seen.
Me either. I have just heard his name, but I haven't really listened to him that much.
Yeah, nothing I've seen points to him being like this extreme of a Jew lover, at least.
But what did you say, Tari? That he criticizes Jew power, but he like reaches out to them to not be put in a ghetto or to
even out the odds. He sees like Jews with like white nationalist sympathies as potentially a powerful allies. So he looks at it from that perspective.
I'm just gonna throw out the question: can Jews have white nationalist sympathies?
Some at least claim to do, but I disagree that they can, like, genuinely.
Yeah, exactly. So then that argument, like, falls off the horse a bit. It's a lot of Jews, like, in Sweden we had a few Jews that, like, criticized Zionism and, like, talk good about the Swedish people. But in my mind, it's like they are still Jews. They are still prioritizing the Jewish people. They just believe that it's a strategy issue, that Jews are behaving so bad. They are saying that, not me, that they are behaving so bad that it's bad for Jews that they are acting the way they're doing. And it's like good for the Jewish interest to like be nice to white nationalists. Exactly. But that's just a question everybody can ask themselves. Can Jews be sympathetic? Like, the Romans destroyed their second temple like 2,000 years ago. There's only been like violence and war and subversion, maybe on both sides since then. So it's like, since when are we friends? I don't know.
They can be sympathetic. I can't read their minds, but I would say we have to reject Jews. unequivocally.
Yeah, and how
no.
many can be sympathetic? It's like, how many Jews are there in the world? I don't know, 10 million, 15 million? How many of them are sympathetic? Like 100 people?
I think you could count them, the genuine, those who are genuinely sympathetic on one hand, like Bobby Fischer and...
Yeah.
A very small minority.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, but I mean, it's a really dangerous time now for everyone. You know, the stakes have gotten a lot higher, and so there is a lot of subversion. So we have to be really careful about who we do ally with. So we know that, you know, all these kosher right wing things, and if you watched War Strike, they were talking about it as well. That, you know, these, you know, a lot of them are very friendly with Jews and their interests that have been very negative towards Europe for a long time in terms of migration. So now is the time to be careful, because we have a lot of energy behind us. A lot of the Zoomers are really they're looking into things and becoming very Jewish critical with the situation in the Middle East, and so they're looking to take a lot of the energy out of this movement and pour it into sort of conservatism and things like that.
Yeah, but by the way, I have to mention that in 2006, I think, when David Duke was at the American Renaissance conference, he asked a question that basically led to a split in the conference, where the most of the pro-Jewish people basically started to boycott it, basically. So it's not as open to the pro-Jewish people as they used to be in the 90s and early 2000s.
Yeah, but my thought is a bit like, why not just be anti-Semitic? What do you lose being anti-Semitic? Because they got like 300 people in the audience. And it's like, it's not like they ditched anti-Semitism and then got like 5,000 people, or maybe they got a lot of money, but like, why skip anti-Semitism if you're only going to get 300 listeners? The Nordic Resistance Movement got like 1,000 people in a demonstration. 10 years ago.
Yeah, I think it's about people being trying to be too smart for their own good, to be honest.
Yeah. And what Halfdan said about like energy, it's like the Zionists are really good at like handling and controlling energy and putting energy where they want. A big thing right now in the States is the shift from like cultural Marxism to conservatives. Like the leftists have lost all their power, especially like the blacks.
Not only that, but conservatism is almost dead too. So the goalposts are moving now. Now the Jews come to white nationalists to subvert. And now with the shit going on in the Middle East, which has caused me to lose a lot of sleep at night because I have to sit up and watch Tel Aviv get bombed. But anyway, we can expect it to ramp up even more. Because now they're going to want us on their side.
Absolutely. Yeah, we can keep going. I wanted to talk a bit about Martin Selner. He was a speaker at the conference, right? Or
yeah, he was.
Yeah, absolutely. And I looked a bit at his Wikipedia article, and there are two quotes I found. It's... he said that he had broken with neo-Nazism and that the rising popularity of National Socialism was a failure of society. And Selner also said that the domination of the American alt-right by the Jewish question is a complete strategical and theoretical failure. And then, on to that, if we look at his Wikipedia article, we see that his organization that he's in right now is the Identitär Bewegung Österreich. And if we look at that organization's Wikipedia article, it says the EBÖ opposes Islamism. So I'm just thinking he and his party can oppose Islamism, but they can't oppose Zionism or Jewish power because that's a complete strategical and theoretical failure. Why can't you oppose two? I don't know.
They work with people who actually are Judo, including Austrian and National Socialists. It's just not something they want to portray as their image because they want to appeal to moderates.
Yeah. But it's a fun concept, like appeal to people. So you're saying that he is like anti-Semitic.
At least in reality,
he is anti-Zionist. But he says that the Jewish question has too big of a place in the old American alt-right. And he says that to appeal to conservatives. So it's like a scheme. He's like lying basically for the point of it. But how do we even know that?
Well, their actions speak louder than words, in my opinion. So I know who they work with behind the scenes, etc. So, yeah.
But then what is the purpose of words?
Well, they see it as a propaganda, basically, yeah.
Okay. Yeah, I just think it's weird. I'm from a different school of thought, but yeah, that maybe that's how he thinks, but I don't know.
Yeah, it undoubtedly seems a bit cocked, but I don't know. I'm throwing this out as a question, but do we have to give him a pass considering the environment he's working in, like Austria? I think it's illegal to be a National Socialist in Austria.
Yeah, it is.
Pretty much.
Openly, at least, yeah.
I don't know. What do you guys think?
But is it illegal to be anti-Zionist? To, like, stand with the Palestinian people?
No, of course not.
I was going to say yes, but...
Yeah, I know. I've seen some videos where, like, the German police take Palestinian flags and so on. But the Arabs can at least be that. So, yeah, I just think that if he was actually anti-Zionist and he can't be anti-Semitic, can't he just like say that what's happening in Gaza is a genocide? I don't know if he's done that or not, but that seems like a pretty low-hanging fruit.
Yeah, you
are. All I know is that the people around him has at least, so... Yeah, like, he should do it the way more. Like, I think this identitarian, like, not all identitarians are like this, but some feel that anti-Zionism distracts from the most important thing, which is basically the Muslim, the mass immigration. That is also one of the reasons why they did not focus on Zionism.
Yeah, but what created the Muslim immigration?
Yeah, exactly. That's why it's not really a... very consistent to that position, but from their point of view, it will help them recruit more people and appeal more to the conservatives. Yeah.
And I'm not saying to like to beat these people up. They like white people in some way. If I had went to that conference, I would be nice to everyone and so on. But it's just when discussing it, you should bring up like the difference between how like Nordic National Socialists think and like how identitarian and like National Conservatives think.
But I'm a bit confused. You're saying they're trying to appeal to conservatives. Is this like the American conservatives and all the money that they have or what? Because I don't even understand why are they even in the equation in America or?
No, this has nothing to do with America, to be honest. This is we're talking about European identitarians now.
Yeah, but we're talking about appealing to conservatives, right?
Yeah, like European conservatives, like national conservatives. So, and like national populists. So they're not fascists or national socialists, but they start to like they're patriots, basically. Yeah.
Okay.
The people who founded the identitarian movement were like national revolutionary anti-Zionist, etc. But they like dropped the anti-Zionism as a strategy. So like I know the roots of the movement, and it is in like French fascism and national socialism. But they basically they changed up their tactics in the 2000s, and it's been the same since.
Is it fair to say that? people that were in the audience were more radical than the people that were speaking on the stage, like the leaders of the conference?
Yeah, a lot of people were, yeah. Of course, you have people who are less radical also, but it was a pretty decent mix of people.
Mm. Because that's something they've been talking about on War Strike, like, it's a high demand for anti-Zionism and questioning of Jewish power, but seems like most of the, what do you call them, like influencers or leaders are going in a more moderate position, which is odd. Now would be the time to radicalize and gather people with the right ideology.
Yeah, now is the time, exactly, because in the past it has been it's pretty hard to be anti-Zionist, but right now at least the youth is on our side, so we should take as much advantage of that as possible.
Yep.
Do you guys know about the National Conservative Party Alternative for Sweden?
Yes.
Yeah, yeah, I do.
The breakoff. The thing about, like, Gustav Kazakstan, the leader, and so on. Yeah, I think he's too, like, parliamentarily. He's too democratic. He has too much of a parliamentary like strategy and so on. But even he, and when you look at the Alternative for Sweden, the like English Wikipedia page, their ideology, they have a lot of ideologies, Wikipedia lists a lot of them, but one is national conservatism, and that's the same as many of the people and the organizations that were represented at the Remigration Summit. And the fun thing about Alternative for Sweden is that the whole split from the Sweden Democrats comes partly from an article that was published in 2011, where Gustav Kazakstan, the leader, wrote that the Sweden Democrats must recognize a Palestinian state, and that the Sweden Democrats' pro-Israeli stance doesn't rhyme good with the opinion of their members and so on. And he went pretty hard against their pro-Israeli stance, not in the way that he's anti-Semitic or something like that, but he just criticizes the Sweden Democrats' way of thinking about Israel and Palestine in like a fundamental way. And this was 2011. It was like 14 years ago. And it was him and William Hane that wrote this article. And it was a big reason for them getting kicked out. And he actually wrote something 11 months ago on Twitter also. Let's see here. He writes about the amount of dead in Gaza, that it's tens of thousands, that we, in a daily way, we see pictures of like parents who dig their dead children out from the destroyed buildings and so on, and just shits on Netanyahu and so on. And it's like they are national conservatives, and they can take a stance for the Palestinians. And they are like, they are national conservatives. And when I, as a Swede, compare them to the organizations I've read about from the Remigration Conference, they have like the same way. They have a political party where the main thing is that they join elections and try to go that way. Mostly, and that they talk about like race, but they talk about it in a like a ethno-pluralistic way, you know, not like in a old school National Socialist way, but they talk about like the Swedish ethnicity and so on. And they have said that they only want to like send back 600,000 or 500,000 people. They are not like they are. I don't believe they are as hard on remigration as like the Nordic Resistance Movement is.
No, I think it's been up to 1 million, but still needs more.
Yeah, exactly. And we have like 2-3 million, but I believe they began in like 500,000 and now it's 1 million. So they are like, they see ethnical Swedes as a thing. They went to remigrate people, but it's in a less like racial way that than the Nordic Resistance Movement and the Alternative for Sweden. They also talk about like criminal immigrants. They have that as a word and so on. And so they are like national conservatives, but even they can take a stance on Gaza. And I believe
one of the parties who were speaking from the Netherlands, Forum for Democracy, they also take a stand on Gaza, by the way, and have been criticized for like amplifying anti-Semitism on Twitter, etc. So you had that representation on stage too. And he also talked about like, after we remigrate all the Muslims, we should have a good partnership with the Muslim states and like not live together, but at least have a decent relationship, etc.
It was two of them. It was Forum for Democracy and then it was Party for Freedom, but it was Forum for Democracy, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, because when I looked at like the Wikipedia articles, one of the... the organizations had actually changed their way of looking at Gaza. So you're right in that way that they actually changed something. Let's see if I can see it. Yeah. Here's the FWD, like the Forum for Democracy. It says this on Wikipedia. The FWD has shifted from an initial strongly pro-Israel attitude towards the Israeli-Palestinian conflict towards criticism of Israel's role in the 2023 Israel-Hamas war, with the leader praising the pro-Palestinian stance on the conflict. And... so on, and it has described it as ethnic cleansing and so on. So they've actually changed in that way. So the Forum for Democracy, they actually did good, as the Alternative for Sweden did, but not everyone does good. And that's the thing. It's like they don't really think the same. Some of them are like going in a good way. And if we look at like Forum for Democracy, I found some other quotes on their Wikipedia, and that's this is two of the quotes. The party wants stricter immigration and integration policies, calling for the protection of high culture and Judeo-Christian values.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
It says that maybe they've changed their minds on that too. I don't know. It also says that the FWD also opposes foreign funding of Islamic schools and institutions and argues that all schools in the Netherlands should subscribe to Judeo-Christian values. Now I'm just thinking, like, if the Islamic schools adhere to these values, can they stay? And it says that they want, like, stricter immigration policies, but maybe... sometimes Wikipedia is slow to update and maybe they've changed their mind. And according to Wikipedia, they have changed their mind on Gaza. So maybe they did, but it's like these organizations are pretty interesting in that they have good thoughts. Like all of them recognize white people. Not a lot of them, but some, as we've seen here, are supporting the Palestinians and so on. But it's like it's so mixed. And one people can be like, one person can be like good in a sense that a National Socialist thinks is good. And then his boss in the party can be like a total Zionist shithead. It's like if we compare to like the old National Justice Party in the US or like, I don't know, the Dritte Weg or the Nordic Resistance Movement, it's like, the people in the movement, in these movements, they are like, they are more united in their thoughts. They don't, They don't have like this difference where some people think in some ways and other people think in other ways. I don't know.
By the way, the old FVD leader, he actually stepped down after a report into anti-Semitism where the youth wing was sharing lots of like what is called anti-Semitic homophobic neo-Nazi memes. So
yeah,
it seems like the younger wing of the party was much earlier in like going against the Jewish power than the older members.
Yeah, absolutely. And that just shows that there might be good people in these organizations, but the organizations in themselves aren't really good. And like another interesting thing seen was that there was some girl speaking, a Dutch woman. What was she called? Eva. Yeah, exactly. And I looked at her Wikipedia page, and she was with the Forum for Democracy between 2016 and 2020, so for 4 years. But she left that after some like infighting or something. And one quote for her was that also in 2021, Eva worked for some time in Sweden as presenter of her own pan-European talk show, Let's Talk About It, on the YouTube channel of Swedish media outlet Riks, which is affiliated with the far-right party, the Sweden Democrats. And the Riks YouTube channel, they aren't like nationalist. They have like Marcus Allard on there, who's like a populist Marxist. They kicked him out now because he talked too much shit on the Sweden Democrats, but he was there. They had Jews talking there and so on. And they are, that channel, Riks, is talking a lot of shit about like Palestinians and so on. So it's like some people in these organizations can be good, but it's like it's a lot of shit in there too.
Yeah, the reason she left the FED in 2020 was that anti-Semitism report. That was the infighting they're talking about.
Yeah, so she left because of anti-Semitism.
Yeah, because they were painted as neo-Nazis, etc. Yeah.
Yeah, absolutely. So that's not good. And then I have another quote for her, and it's like, it's this. In November 2023, it's her last name, but I'm just going to say Eva, stated that she would vote for the Party for Freedom, PVV, in the 2023 Dutch general election.
Is that Geert Wilders party?
Yes.
Yeah, exactly. it just becomes worse and worse. It's all falling down. When I looked at the Wikipedia articles, I like the whole thing just vanished. Yeah, I'm gonna read some quotes from the Party for Freedom. It's not looking good. This is the first quote. PVV's main issues are migration and critique of Islam. The PVV has proposed banning the Quran and shutting down all mosques in Netherlands. Another quote is, the party campaigns on a strong counter-jihad agenda. And the third, a bit longer quote is, the PVV supports the one-state solution and considers Jordan to be the only Palestinian state that will ever exist. In 2010, Wilders voiced his support for the Israel Beteinu and held talks with its leader Avigdor Lieberman. Wilders is a frequent visitor to Israel and spent 6 months on a mushav in the West Bank at the age of 17. The party supports recognizing Jerusalem as the capital of Israel and proposes moving the Dutch embassy there. Following the Gaza war, Wilders drew condemnation from the Arab states for advocating for the relocation of Palestinians to Jordan. So yeah, she voted for a pretty not that great party in 2023, you could say. But she likes white people. She said it at the conference. I don't know.
Yeah, pretty damning resume. What a shit show.
Yeah, and this is the interesting thing, is like they say good things, But where they get their money from, they are not thinking in the same ways. So to me, it seems like they're just saying things that sound good, but they can't back it up in their organizations and so on. And especially when the audience is more radical than them, it's like they're just trying to like coerce the people into getting into their organization by saying radical things, but they can't really back it up. I don't know.
Yeah, something odd is going on. Who knows what, really? I don't think we've seen it yet, what they have in mind.
Yeah. You should not compare the identitarians to the PVV, though. The PVV is absolute garbage.
Yeah, it's worse. But then they are at the same conference. That's
yeah,
the because, thing.
Yeah, of course. But when you unite around one policy, you will have some bad people and some better people, you know?
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah, the Nordic Resistance Movement, for example, can like join demonstrations sometime when they like the solution. But the Nordic Resistance Movement is very clear on being national socialists or no. It seems like, yeah. And there was some other, yeah, there was some other Dutch guy, Ries van Langenhove.
Yeah, he's from the Flanders in Belgium.
Yeah, absolutely. And he's in Vlaams Belang right now. And
well, he's affiliated with the Vlaams Belang. He's not actually a member. He runs his own identitarian group called De Vriendenschild.
On Wikipedia, it says that from 2019 to 2023, Langenhove seated as an independent member of the Vlaams Belang fraction in the Chamber of Representatives.
Yeah, exactly. He was affiliated with the Vlaams Belang, but he sat as an independent. That's correct.
Yeah. And yeah, I have some quotes of Vlaams Belang. You guys probably know what they are. But yeah, for example, currently the party is seen as anti-Islam, while being strongly pro-Israel regarding Jews and Israelis as allies against radical Islam. Ouch. Yeah, this one is pretty fun too. Initially, members of Belgium's Jewish community boycotted the party due to the stigma of wartime collaborativism associated with the Flemish nationalism and the fact that Vlaams Bloc predecessor contained founders who had collaborated with the Nazis. However, in Antwerp, sections of the city's large Jewish community now actively support the party as they feel threatened by the new wave of anti-Semitism from the growing Muslim population. And then we have in 2010, the party was part of a delegation to Israel, along with some other rightist parties, where they issued the Jerusalem Declaration, which defended the right of Israel to exist and defend itself against terrorism. Another quote, the Vlaams Belang condemned the October 7th Hamas-led attack on Israel, with Van Grieken calling for an end to the development aid to the Palestinian territories and criticizing the Belgian government for not more clearly describing the attack as a terrorist attack. And the last quotes on Vlaams Belang, though Van Grieken initially stated that Vlaams Belang would not take sides in the Gaza war, he later described Israel's fight against Islamist terrorism as a fight for the whole world, as part of a permanent struggle against radical Islam.
Wow. The Van Grieken actually used to be a lot more de-radical and a real nationalist when he was a younger, but he obviously has been de-radicalized by his time in the party.
Yeah, but it's not like de-radicalized. He's like become a Jew. It's like
basically, yeah.
It's not that he's less radical. He has like switched sides.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. What more did I? Yeah, the Portuguese party, Chega.
Yeah.
Do you have anything interesting on them?
No, not really. No. I know they did well in the last election. That's all.
How is Muslim immigration into Portugal? Does anyone know? Because
yeah, it's very bad.
I thought it was like mostly Brazilians and other Portuguese speaking countries, but
no, that's in the past.
That's in the past. Okay.
I remember when I was before I was racially aware, like in my teenagers or something like that. I actually thought Portugal was a black country because you know the football team it was almost 100% black. It's only like in, I don't know how long ago, but since I became a National Socialist that I just figured out like Portuguese people are white.
Yeah, the French football team is also almost all black.
Yeah, but Portugal must have been worse when I was a kid.
Yeah.
yeah, I have some quotes from Chega's Wikipedia article. The first one is that they are describing themselves as strong proponent of Western civilization. The party positions itself against Islamist extremism. And the agenda of Chega is heavily focused on criminality issues, where they spread support for the police forces of the country. And it also, another quote is that it also supports bilateral agreements and limited immigration from former Portuguese colonies, such as Brazil, Portuguese-speaking African countries, Macau, that's in China, and East Timor, while taking a more critical stance on non-Western immigration. Another quote is, the party claims that it rejects xenophobia on its platform. And another quote is that they argue for a Europe of sovereign nations united by shared Greco-Roman and Judeo-Christian principles. And the last quote, Chega has taken a strongly pro-Israel stance on the Gaza war, criticizing other Portuguese political parties for their stance on the conflict. That's Chega, according to the leftist site Wikipedia.
How long do we have to listen to this fucking Judeo-Christian bullshit?
Yeah, it's actually over. That was the it was the one I mentioned before, and Chega that had the Judeo-Christian principles. But they also said Greco-Roman, come on.
Yeah.
It's like 50-50, so they've compensated. It's like, why can't you just say Christian values?
Yeah, exactly. I'm not like, a Christian. I'm not a Christian, but Jews killed Jesus, so you think
exactly,
the two things are like mutually exclusive?
Yeah, and they broke up from the first. Is it the First Amendment? No, I don't really know how to translate it, but it was like
the Old Testament.
Yeah, exactly. They broke with the Old Testament and created the New Testament. So they broke up from the Judaic thought that was there. So yeah, it is like they reformed it to another thing and got killed for it by Jews. So yeah, yeah.
This Christian stuff seems to be like a pretty recent influence from the Americans. I think they watch a little bit too much American conservative influencers, to be honest.
Yeah, that's an American thing. And talking about American, another speaker was Jackie Eubanks. And we wrote a bit about her in our internal chat. She had actually pretty good thoughts on Gaza. It was a good article that you sent, but yeah, I found some things that were pretty weird. Like she said in her article on her Substack, she said, "I believe President Trump is a rational, intelligent, and good-hearted man. So my hope is that he will use the popular pushback as an out regarding like the US taking over Gaza." And she said, she also said that, "I want to believe this is all 4D chess. The Trump is playing poker and betting that the Palestinians will be so afraid of America coming in and demolishing their homeland that they'll end the fighting and cooperate with Israel. But I'm skeptical, to put it very mildly." mildly. So. And you said that she had worked for Turning Point USA. And yeah, I don't know if we really have to talk about Turning Point USA, but or do they themselves even say that Turning Point USA is nationalist? Isn't that just a conservative think tank for Zionists?
I think some members.
Charlie Kirk is sitting on with a on like conferences. When he go to like universities, he sits with Indians and so on, and like yeah.
Yeah, their version of nationalism is basically civic nationalism.
Yeah, yeah. I've seen him like talking at or setting up his desk at like universities, and some of his content, Charlie Kirk's content, is actually funny. Like, because a lot of the leftists are so fucked up in the brain that they are so degenerate that it's like pretty low hanging fruit, and yeah, they get pretty they embarrass themselves. But the thing is that Charlie Kirk is pretty emotional himself. It's like when people bring up USS Liberty, he also has like an emotional reaction.
Yeah, they had the Groyper Award during university tours where lots of like broccoli heads came and asked questions about Jews and Israel, and
we also have
pissed off every time.
Yeah, we also have the classic like, how does anal sex help the culture war?
Yeah.
And he's like, yeah, what people do in the bedroom, it doesn't really matter. It doesn't really answer the question. And people also came like at universities, not like Groypers, but like just traditional Christians, have, because he's Christian too, and people can, they come to him and say like, Jews aren't really that nice to Christians. And he's like, yeah, but like, Israel is like a democratic country, so you can go there and like look at Christian sites. You can't do that in Palestine because Hamas is bad. But it's like, yeah, and they will also spit on you, the Jews. I don't know. So, yeah.
Yeah, it's complete nonsense, actually, because there are lots of Palestinian Christians too, and Hamas does not terrorize them anywhere near the way Israel terrorizes Palestinian Christians.
Exactly, no. Exactly. Yeah, so... Yeah, and the Groyper Wars, that those, it was a bit of a time ago now, it was a few years ago, but it was really funny. There's a video, I think I linked it in our chat.
It was pretty funny to see how easily you can pick apart their retarded ideologies. Like some young Zoomer comes there and asks a simple question, and it all falls apart. Audience start laughing at him.
Yeah, it's Charlie Kirk versus Groypers compilation. Another thing is when Charlie Kirk like talk about black people, and he doesn't have a racial view at all. It's just like something, the culture, something, economical things. It's like, he's saying like black people have a bad culture, but it's like 200 years ago in this place, their fathers didn't leave the babies right away. So like their race has the ability to take care of their children. Some like bad culture just fucked it up for them. So yeah, he has some weird like civic nationalist arguments for that too.
He has gotten that stuff from the black conservative Thomas Sowell. He's a big fan of him.
All the time. Yeah, yeah. Yeah, I've seen them talking together and so on. Yeah, some of the... Yeah, and then we have like the Homeland Party and like the split with Patriotic Alternative. I'm not really read into that, but yeah. Yeah, that's... I don't really... I haven't studied that. And then we had like a French guy from like
Reconquête, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Or do you mean Delegalou? Is it him you're talking about?
It was the guy from Reconquête.
Jean-Yves Delegalou, right?
Yeah, Yeah, I believe him. He was the only one there. Yeah, because I looked at Reconquête's Wikipedia article and I saw this.
Samur, right?
The party takes a pro-Israel stance, with Samur describing the Gaza War as the fight of our civilization, calling for a ban on Hamas' parent organization, the Muslim Brotherhood, in France, and visiting Israel in solidarity. So that party doesn't really seem to be all that great. And Samur is like the party leader. It's Eric Samur. Yeah, that was all the notes I had. There were a few more speakers, like the Homeland guy. I heard a lot of shit about Homeland, but I'm not really ready into that. And then it was the Irish guy, John Mac. I don't know really how to pronounce his last name. Laughlin, I don't know.
Yeah, Keith Woods is a member of their party. He was in the audience too.
And but the thing is, the National Party, the Irish National Party, isn't that split between Barrett and another guy?
Yes, correct.
And which and he's in like the non-Barrett side.
Yeah, that's correct.
Yeah.
Yeah, Justin Barrett has the, not sure of the pronunciation, but Clan Arian.
Basically, something.
Yeah.
And he's like 100% National Socialist.
You're talking about Barrett or?
Barrett, yeah.
Yeah, because Keith Woods, he's all for them like Polish people, you know.
Mm.
Doesn't like National Socialism.
Yeah, he thinks it's good spending his time writing stuff like attacking National Socialism and saying we should drop Hitler and stuff like that.
Yeah.
In the past, he actually used to support the Strasserism and National Bolshevism.
Cool. That's cool. Yeah, Warstrike did an episode, their episode 92 with Justin Barrett. And one of the things they said there that was pretty funny is that, yeah, they drop like National Socialism and and they de-radicalize themselves, but like they don't really get that more that much more attention.
No.
Maybe they will get in the future, but it's like, why not just do the real deal? I don't know. Being National Socialist is so easy. Like, you have the name, and you have the name in, like, your party or your, like, Wikipedia article, and it's like, this party does not like Zionists, and it will never do, and there's no way of being, like, weird or doing weird shit if you're National Socialists, and it's like you're branded, and then it's yeah. But Keith Woods is being weird.
Not about the different Zionism, though. He has always been consistent on that. To be fair.
yeah. Sure. Yeah, but when I say Zionists, I mean like being National Socialists. You know, Swedish hate speech laws. Zionists can mean anything from like political Zionism to Jews to like, yeah, you know.
He openly talks about Jews, though, so that's not really a problem when it comes to Kiev.
Yeah, absolutely. Keith is good in that way. It's just him bashing on National Socialism is.
It's not necessary.
Yeah. And it's like, if he can bash on National Socialism, what more stupid things can he do in the future?
I imagine that in his mind, he basically sees National Socialism as a hindrance to the party growing. That's his line of thought, I guess.
Yeah, I think the main takeaway was to like distance yourself from the history of World War II and not have to answer questions about the Holocaust all the time.
Basically,
but it's not like he's going to get away from it anyway. They're still going to bring up the Holocaust and call him a Nazi no matter what he does.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, it's like the Sweden Democrats. They are extremely pro-Israel. They travel to Israel. They like cry in front of the Jews and so on. And like they are bashed for anti-Semitism all the time. And even the moderates with the Swedish prime minister, like Ulf Kristersson, he like he promised as a Holocaust survivor or something like that, that he wouldn't let the Sweden Democrats in. And people bash him, leftists bash him for that today. But like the Sweden Democrats is pro-Zionist anyway. So it's like leftists don't care. Just go all the way. It's not that it's going to help you because, and absolutely, cultural Marxism has gone a bit on the decline these days in favor of conservatism and nationalist conservatism and so on. But yeah, you're still going to get bashed.
Israeli politicians used to be banned from actually meeting as Sweden Democrats politicians, and that recently changed now. So I don't know why they sympathize so much when the Israelis hate them.
yeah, it's and they would. The reason is probably for some, it might be that they have this thought that the excuses we've made for people that they like. They want to get more power and more influence. But it probably maybe started as that for some people. But now I think they actually believe that. Because they simmed for Israel, the Sweden Democrats simmed for Israel for a long time. And as you said, Tari, it's only recently that a lot of Israelis changed their minds on them. Yeah, that was all I had to say at least. So yeah, it's good that they talk about white people and they want to send people back, but
it's not enough.
It's not enough, and it's probably not good that these organizations exist because it feels to me that they are saying stuff that they don't really mean. For strategical reasons, some people may mean it, but it's like they are in an ecosystem that doesn't let them grow and do. So I just want people to think and ask themselves the question, are these my guys? Like they say good things, but are these organizations that I can stand with? Can I support people who say stuff like that? The stuff that I've read up and so on. So I just want people to think about it and not just think, yeah, they talk about white people. That's great. But actually, like, think about what is the definition of nationalism. And my definition of nationalism, not even like National Socialism, but as we say in Sweden, to be nationell, to be a nationalist. The definition that I have is that you understand the race question and that you understand the Jewish question. And if you don't understand those two, you are not a nationalist. That's my definition.
From my point of view, we should stand with the identitarians, but not these national conservative parties, as the identitarians are much more radical than them. They do similar activism to us, and they also have unofficial links with national socialist and fascist the groups that are anti-Zionist. So they are basically the real partners and real nationalists, but these national conservative parties are just the fakers, in my opinion.
Yeah, sure. And I'm not saying to be like, to be mean to people and beat them up, and it's like with the identitarians, you can be nice to those guys and like open up for some collaboration and maybe help them become more nationalist in the sense that we are. But it's like people should build up their immune system to understand that these people who went to these organizations, they are not national socialists and they behave in a different way and they can behave in a bad way. So in a way that you not just accept, not just think about what they say then and there, but think about what have they said before and what have other people in their organization said before. So you think about it more clearly. Yeah.
My question to the identitarians are, if they got power, My impression is, you know, the reason why they're going down with their optics is they really care what other people think about them. I mean, are they going to be able to get the job done? So now they're talking a lot of remigration. Okay, they get into power. I mean, it's going to be messy, right? I mean, they're just going to be able to wave a wand and you know, the country's going to be nice and good again. You know, it's going to get messy. You know, people are going to be writing badly about them. There's going to be some bad optics when they have to deport a bunch of people that looks terrible in the media. I mean, I just don't see it. You know, they're reactionaries in a sense. So I don't know.
What I would say, what I think they would answer you, without the cameras being on, is that once we are in power, we can do whatever we want and it doesn't matter anymore.
Yeah, maybe. We'll see. We've heard that talk before from Trump.
I think people say that deportations and remigration can happen like totally peacefully, but I think that's a lie. There's going to be violence, and question is if they're going to be, as you said, Halfdan, if they're going to be prepared for it.
Yeah, I mean, countries aren't going to take them back as well. So, I mean, no. This isn't just going to be localized. This is going to be on an international scale. You know, it's going to have to be Europe-wide. It's going to be really messy. It's going to take very radical people to get things done.
So. Identitarian activists are often arrested for the violence, though, so it's not like they're scared of violence.
For violence or for the protests?
For violence, yes.
Okay. I don't know too much about identitarians. But
Yeah, I know a lot about them. I can assure you these are very radical people, but they also care about what people think of them. So, yeah.
Yeah, they're doing their thing, and we can't stop them from doing their thing, and at least they are doing something. But people should know what the difference is. When people have this like strategy, as you said, Tarje, that when we're in power, we can do whatever we want. It's, for me, it's almost the same as when if I hand out flyers on the street and some like old racist old man would come up to me and say like, I'm not with you right now, but when the race war starts, I will be with you right away. The arguments feels a bit similar. I don't know.
Well, not in the case of the identitarians, because they're actually on the front
they're
line
actually
as activists.
Doing stuff.
Yeah.
But it's like right now, I'm not like national socialist, but when we have power, then I will be it. But
they're going to take off their masks simultaneously, and oh god, right? It's
well, they do it
as they step up on the podium. They remove.
They all have little mustaches, and no one knew it. They just have
well,
for like half a
like,
year.
Yeah, they do it to quote the fascists very often, and like similar people to the ones that we quote, like speaking about the fascist and NS movement all over Europe. So ideologically, they're not that far from us. They just don't openly talk about the Jews, basically.
Yeah, but I mean, for me, I mean, and I know there's no identitarians here, and I don't know much about them, but you know, I mean, you can't just become it. You have to live it, right? You know, you have to surround yourself in it. You don't just, you know, suddenly throw it off and then you're suddenly there, right? You know, it takes a while. You have to surround yourself. The party's going to be, who's going to be in the party when they have to fake it all the way to the end part? I mean, are they going to make deals with other parties?
When you get a new recruit, when you recruit a new person, do you have to say to them every time, like, outwards we say this and this, but in all actuality, we are this and this? Do you
And then when the media comes,
if you don't say it to all the recruits that come in, people will join the party on the basis of what they see. What
the identitarians are not a party, though. They're
the movement,
activists.
But then as well, like, okay, then you get the undercover journo who comes in and hears someone say bad, and then they make an article about it. They're gonna throw them under the bus, or they're gonna say like, yes,
that's happened before.
Or what's gonna happen?
That has happened many times already, and they are still going strong, so...
Yeah.
By the way, you guys should watch undercover documentary from the identitarians in Lille in France from a few years ago, and you will get a better image of how they operate.
Yeah, sure. But do they throw people out if they are found out with saying radical stuff?
Well, it depends what, you know. If it's something that really hurts their image, yes, but...
But what is really hurting their image? Can you think like an example or something?
Well, if you say that basically like, oh, we should go against the Jews, basically, like stuff that is not consistent with the image they want to portray, but they have a pretty like a wide margin for what you can say.
But am I allowed to, as a National Socialist, say in public that I'm a National Socialist and live the ideals? Or do I have to hide that?
You can live the ideals, but I don't think they want you saying you're a National Socialist.
But if you say that Hitler was right, would you get thrown out then, or?
I think that depends on the identitarian group. They're not all the same. So some probably would and some wouldn't.
Yeah, I understand that these are good guys in many ways. It's just such a weird thought for me.
Because
as I've been
a lot of their activists say Hitler was right in like their private, but they do not say it publicly.
It just feels so weird, like living two lives. Like it's the society me and then the real me. It's like you have two sides inside of you.
That is what makes it a National Socialism the best option, in my opinion, that you can basically be open about everything.
But doesn't like active clubs have a pretty good solution for it? It's like they are like National Socialists, but they don't say it. They just like fight each other. But they aren't political in the same way, but I don't know.
That is basically what identitarians have always done, though. And they also work very closely with active clubs, so all over Europe.
But active clubs maybe is a bad comparison because they aren't like political in the same way. They are like a nationalist fight club. They don't really spread politics. They don't like do conferences and podcasts and articles. They used to do their niche, like.
They got that model from the identitarians, though. Like these fight clubs and such that started with the identitarians, and then the active clubs adopted it.
Yeah, and a bit of like hooligan culture and so on.
Exactly. Yeah.
Yeah.
Football hooligans are very closely affiliated with these identitarian groups and active clubs as well. So yeah.
Do you know if the identitarians, do they have like local leadership, or is it more like active clubs, like they seem to be? Like, it's not really organized. It's just like small friend groups doing stuff together.
They have a local leadership. Yes, they are autonomous.
Mm. That's a thing that's been worrying like with me with the active clubs. Like, there doesn't seem to be much leadership. It's basically like friend groups here and there.
They don't really have membership.
They follow around Robert Derun, though, can be seen as their leader, though, because he's like the top of the active club network.
Yeah, but isn't he like a spiritual leader?
You could say that, yeah.
It's more a network. Like
He's more like the founder of it, not really the leader.
Yeah, I would say that.
But isn't like identitarians like a continental European thing? Do identitarians like exist in the Nordics or in the US? Or?
Yeah, they have a good branch in the in Denmark, and they and the Nordisk Ungdom used to be like the Swedish branch. Basically.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah, they're not active anymore. They shut down. But yeah,
and they also had Identity Europa in the US. I don't think that's around anymore either.
Yeah, but it seems like it's the strongest in continental Europe, like Germany and Austria, France, and so on.
Yeah, they have also had the branches with like white nationalists in like South America, like in Chile as well.
Nordisk Ungdom, that's a pretty fun story. I remember when I was like 13, 14, I wanted to join an organization, but I didn't. I joined a National Socialist organization when I was 18. But when I was like 13, 14, or maybe I was 15, but it was a few years before, I wanted to join an organization, but I was so like young and not really sure in myself. I hadn't read that much. I just wanted to do something like cool politically that was radical. And I compared like Nordisk Ungdom that existed then and compared it like to the Nordic resistance movement. And my thought when I was, were like 14 years old was that I wanted to join Nordisk Ungdom instead of the Nordic resistance movement because I wouldn't get so shit on. And if my parents found out, I could come up with like excuses like they aren't really Nazis and so on. So, yeah.
Yeah, Nordisk Ungdom, basically, they admitted to being a fascist, but not a national socialist.
Yeah. Yeah, they actually had, like, yellow and black colors. We have a guy in my nest that actually was a member of Nordisk Ungdom for a short while. But he said that they were really Catholic. And so on.
Yeah, they took a lot of inspiration from the Forza Nuova in Italy. That is why.
Yeah.
I wanted to ask you, Tarja, did you introduce yourself as a member of the Nordic Resistance Movement while you were at the conference?
Yeah, those who asked, yeah.
How were the reactions? Did you get any, like, someone that was hostile or skeptical or something like that? Or were they only positive?
No, I got no bad reactions. Just one of them. They were a little surprised I was there, but nothing negative.
All right. Were you the only one from the organization that was there?
Yeah. No, there were other people from Scandinavia, mostly Sweden, and I think Tore Rasmussen from Norway. Other than that, I was the only one who was like openly National Socialist from the Nordics, yeah.
Mm. What were the people from Sweden? Were there some famous people or just like random guys?
To me, they were random guys. Maybe they're more known in Sweden, but the one of them was actually a Rhodesian who had moved to Sweden. So,
cool.
Yeah, I know some Finns from the Blue Black movement were also there.
Yeah, that's correct.
I think the guy I'm thinking about is the vice chairman of the movement.
Okay. Didn't they have their own conference like in the same month, or was it the month before?
I think it was maybe a week or two after Jared Taylor spoke there, at least.
Jared Taylor came to Finland?
Yes, to the Awakening conference.
Cool.
Jared Taylor and Mark Collette, Tomislav Sunic. And maybe two or three more speakers, but I can't remember the rest of them.
Yeah, Tomislav Sunic is very popular among the identitarians as well.
Mm.
Yeah, I'm just happy I'm a National Socialist. It makes my life a lot easier. I always know what my ideology is, and if people don't like my ideology, they can't work with me. And it fends off Zionism in a natural way. So that's how I like it. But people can do whatever they want. And yeah, I don't know.
Unfortunately,
let the best ideology win.
Yeah, there's not going to be a Jew sitting on Radio Thule.
No.
Yeah. Yes. Do you guys have anything else you want to talk about?
I'd still like to ask some questions about the conference. Did you have any visits from Antifa or any harassment from the police or something like that?
No, the police protected us against basically all the leftists and Antifa showing up. They tried to storm the conference and stuff, but the police did a pretty good job keeping them away.
Mm. Okay, because I think Antifa, at least historically, they've had a lot of presence in Italy.
Yeah, they got our first venue cancelled, and we got a new one in a more friendly city with one of the more like the right-wing populist parties has elected the mayor. So that one was not cancelled. And Antifa also had another demonstration in the center of Milan where they got like fired at by the water cannon.
So it follows the similar pattern, like they try to disrupt the event and that they do is end up fighting with the police.
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah, that's always nice.
Yeah, it's a nice thing, Antifa, get a taste of their own the medicine.
Absolutely.
Any more questions? But yeah, we have exciting guests coming up. We have parts of the Puerecada, but that's so timeless, so we can take that whenever we want. We'll be back in like July.
If you guys have any questions about the March in Paris, I can answer those.
Yeah, sure. It was very cool looking with people being masked and like the Celtic cross flags. Did everyone have Celtic cross flags? Was there like an organization or?
Yeah, it's called the Committee of 9 May. And you also had like the Life and the different flags and the Sun Cross as well.
Yeah, because that's more my style. And they were a lot of people, right? They were more than 300, right?
Yeah, yeah. We were 2,000 this year.
Yeah.
And that's
so you can be masked and run around with Celtic crosses and be like 2,000. So apparently you don't really need to be Zionist and weird. Yeah.
I agree.
But was that march openly National Socialist march?
Openly the fascist, at least, yeah.
Mm, nice.
Yeah, but when you look at the people walking there, it's like another league, you know.
Mm.
You had both the National Socialist and Fascist, the groups there from all over Europe. Casa Pound, Der Dritte Weg, Die Heimat, etc. Yeah.
Yeah, it looked cool. The march looked really cool. So yeah, it was fun to see in so many people. Last time we got that many that many people in Sweden was like 20 years ago. Maybe we got like 1,500, I don't know, around there.
We need to get back to that.
Yeah, it was the solemn demonstrations. So yeah, we need to get back to that, absolutely. And it has worked before, so we can do it again, absolutely. And I don't believe we should hide our true selves to get there. Anything else you want to ask regarding that or something else? Or
no, I think I'm good.
Yep. We'll be back next month. We don't really know which date, maybe at the end of next month. Yeah. And that's that. Thanks to all the listeners and you here for us from us in the next month. Have a nice day, guys.
Have a nice
Take
day.
Care.
Bye bye.
Bye guys.